Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken. Quick draw. Orioles and Marlins start the final series before the All-Star break, giving away Hawaiian shirts tomorrow. I believe there's fireworks tonight, so it's going to be a big festive weekend. Marlins aren't that bad, so don't sleep on them for sure. Dean Kramer on the hill. Orioles sweep the Mets, so they're back, I guess. I don't know. Joining us now to talk about that from the Baltimore Sun, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Jacob Calvin Meyer. Jacob, what's happening, bud? How are you feeling today?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
All right. The trade of Baker, I guess, indicates, and I think Mike Elias himself even admitted that this could be a leaning towards not a full-on sell, rebuild, 2000 Orioles style, but, you know, 2018, some familiar names getting jettisoned. But Baker moving, how surprised were you that his name was like the first to go, given the controllable years and the success he's had this season?
Yeah, it's funny. In late May, I did a story about listing the Orioles players who could conceivably be traded, and I originally put Brian Baker on the list, but then I went and saw that he had three controllable years, and I was like, that doesn't seem likely to me that they would trade a guy like that. But it looks to be, and Mike Elias was pretty honest with us yesterday when he spoke, that this was an offer that he and his front office deemed too good to turn down. Braves were pretty aggressive in going after Brian Baker, a guy that they clearly like and think that can be in their bullpen for the next few years. And honestly, even if Brian Baker is as good as he's been this year for the next 3 years for Tampa Bay, which, to be honest, is a good but not great relief pitcher, I think you could even make a strong argument that the pick that the Orioles got is even worth that pitcher. And that's not including the fact that Baker has no more minor league options. He was in AAA last season, and it is conceivable that he is not as good as he's been for the past 3 months, you know, that he's not that good for the next 3 years. So in that way, I think the trade makes a lot of sense for the organization, especially considering the leanings that they do and how much they lean on the draft. At the same time, you know, Elias also kind of addressed the elephant in the room with the fact that they are probably leaning towards being sellers at the deadline. He admitted basically that if their record was the inverse of what it was going into yesterday, so if they were 50-40, would he have made this trade? Probably not. But at the same time, he also said that this team over the next, I believe there's 16 or 17 games until the deadline, if they win the vast majority of those games, could he course correct and change how he approaches the deadline? The answer to that is yes. So I think this Baker trade does not indicate that there's going to be a bunch of trades in the next week or so, but it does say that if this team doesn't get really hot in the next few weeks, that they are going to be sellers.
Yeah, Jacob, I mean, it definitely feels like something's going to happen. And if they only buy, it's buying for a guy that's under team control for years to come, right? Like, if you're looking for me, it's a starting pitcher, because it doesn't make sense in any other way to go out and get another big bat, in my opinion, right? It's starting pitching and team control and all of that. But the other side of this, and I'm curious, you know, until Kyle Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez hopefully are back, and Tyler Wells, they don't have a lot of depth in the starting pitching department. And they already have Zach Eflin, obviously, on the shelf. Am I crazy to think that I could see them moving a couple more bullpen arms not named Felix Bautista? Because I don't think I would be shocked. But like Sir Anthony Dominguez, right, I think is a guy that a lot of teams would be interested in. And Soto. And I feel like the Orioles have done a better job of having players fill that void. I just don't know if they'll have starting pitchers that they would feel comfortable calling up if, say, they move Sagano and a Morton or an Eflin, so to speak.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track there. You know, it's always hard to look at one trade or one press conference that Mike Elias gives and say, you know, here's what we learned, that we learned anything new. There's two things that kind of thoughts that I had in my head before yesterday that I sort of believe were strengthened a little bit by what we learned yesterday. And the first is kind of what you said about the relievers. Listen, if this team wins every game between now and July 31st, they're not going to sell. But let's just assume that they are going to be at least moderate sellers at the deadline. I think it is fair to assume that Sir Anthony Dominguez and Gregory Soto and maybe even Andrew Kittredge, that those guys are very, very likely to be traded because of what you stated, that it is more likely to be able to get guys up that can replace them in the bullpen in the short term. And you know, in those guys' case, especially Dominguez and Soto, they're free agents at the end of the year. Dominguez has really turned himself into a dominant platoon neutral reliever, which he really hasn't been in his career in, on the terms of the platoon neutral side. That could be really valuable for some teams. And as you guys know, every team in contention is probably looking at their bullpen and saying, hey, we could use a lefty that can strike some lefties out. You know, like, so Gregory Soto is somebody that should be, that you should be able to get some value from at the deadline as well. So that's the first thing, which is, I'm pretty confident they're going to trade those relievers. The second one is, I think we need to reshape who could maybe be traded, and there might be some guys that would surprise us. So, you know, just to name, again, just completely throwing it out there because they traded a guy with 3 years of team control. One player is Ramon Urias, right? He's under team control through 2026. I think Ramon Urias is perhaps too valuable to this team to give away. At the same time, if you're a team in contention and you lose your third baseman, you lose your second baseman, or you just want to bolster your infield depth, and they give Mike Elias an offer that they can't turn down from Ramon Urias, that's a guy that could be traded. And then you go down the list. Basically, anybody outside of the young core, if there's an offer for that player that Mike Elias and Sig Meidel in the front office deems to be of greater value than what that player is going to provide to them, then they're probably going to say yes to it.
Yeah, it is about value, right? They love value. And I know that at a point, though, whoever they make a move for, Jacob, to me, it has to be with the thoughts of they have to still think about winning in the immediate future. If it's not 25, 26, you are expected to contend to win the AL East. That's my, at least, impression. But you said a couple other guys and that could surprise you. One I'm fascinated with, and it's another Ramon. How about Ramon Laureano, who has a club option, which is a great – it's a great value for how he's playing, right? And if I'm a team – that's a sneaky pick that I would think that the Orioles could get a decent return on. Is there another guy like Ramon you just mentioned that maybe you're going to keep an eye on here that the Orioles would listen to offers for that we're not talking about?
Yeah, tons of thoughts about all you just said there. So just one quick one is that, right, they need to compete in 2026. And I think a lot of people, and even me initially, when they got the draft pick for Baker, I look at that and go, well, that helps the 2030 Orioles, not the 2026 Orioles. And while that is still probably, you know, mostly true, at the same time, if you get more talent in your farm system, which they should be able to do in this draft with 7 day 1 picks, then it gives you the opportunity to go out and make some trades this offseason or at the deadline next year to help the 2026 team. You know, for example, they, you know, drafted, they traded 3 2023 draftees to acquire Zach Eflin at the 24 trade deadline. And so the same thing could happen in this situation. The second point about Laureano is exactly right. However, so that increases what you could get for him at the deadline, right? Because he has that club option. It's like, okay, we can get more for him. Like, for example, who gets more for you? We actually discussed this in my company Slack channel yesterday. It was a little bit of an argument. Who gets more at the deadline? Mullins with 2 months of a Cedric Mullins or a year and a half of Ramon Laureano? Like, I'm not sure. I probably still think Mullins because of the defense and center field and his track record, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, Ramon Laureano could get you something legitimate. You pair Laureano and a reliever together and send them to a team, you could get a legitimate prospect there. At the same time, don't you want Ramon Laureano on this team next year? Don't you need a right-handed bat in the outfield? Don't you need a clubhouse presence on this team next year? And I asked Tony Mendolino this yesterday, and of course he kind of poo-pooed the premise, which is totally fair. But the question was, if the front office continues to make decisions at the deadline that are seen as hurting not just this year's team, but even next year's team, right? If they trade Ramon Urias, if they trade Ramon Laureano, if they trade Andrew Kittredge, who has a team option for next year, if they trade other guys who, Ryan Mountcastle, if he comes back healthy before the end of the month and they trade him, if they trade those guys, how does this clubhouse handle that? How do they view that? Because, of course, Mike Elias said that this is not going to be another rebuild, and nobody thought that it was. However, I think they're looking at this. The players could look at this and say, hey, I understand we didn't play well enough, you know, in the first half of the season to warrant being buyers, and it makes sense that we're going to sell some of our guys on expiring contracts. But if this gets deeper than that and this becomes more of a protracted thing, I'm really curious how some guys in the clubhouse are going to take that. If you, you know, you trade away a popular player, Ramon Laureano, who I believe leads the team in OPS at the moment, and he could have been a big part for your team next year, and then he's gone.
Jacob Kalbenmeier, Baltimore Sun, joining us here. Ripping it with Ryan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Jacob, appreciate the time. Have fun with the Marlins series this weekend. Enjoy the All-Star break, and we'll catch up with you in the second half.
Thanks, guys. We got Stowers versus Trevor Rogers tomorrow. That's going to be a blast.
0-3 with 2 Ks. There we go. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Hey, thank you, Jacob. Yeah, Trevor Rogers. There's a fascinating guy that we'll talk about. Talk about 26 and beyond. Now he's become a very important part of the Orioles' future. Not going to be part of the past like we all wanted him to be just a month ago.